Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started with a few announcements. So first one up is Book of the Month for October is a book called The Local Church by Edward Clink. Technically Edward Clink the Third, but I don't know if Edward Clink the Second or First wrote any books. So anyhow, this is a couple different things with this book real quick. It's super easy read. Talking about actually it starts off with what the church isn't, and then starts talking about what the church is. I think for a lot of people here, you're going to read this, and you're going to go, yep. What I'm hoping is it reinforces what you already know and encourages you in areas that you want to grow in. The other nice thing about this particular book is he has written some questions at the end of the book. So it's got kind of a built-in, it's not necessarily a study guide, but a help you think further kind of thing. Really am interested in hearing some feedback on this one, because I'm considering using this book from now on in terms of church membership and things like that. In fact, we might even do a some sort of a small group study specifically for this book in the near future. So you can get it on Amazon and all the other places. Next slide. So candy, the bucket out there in the lobby. So when you're going to the store and you see the candy and you buy yourself some candy, buy some candy for the 31st. Also, if you're looking to do something on the 31st, we could use some help. The 31st this year falls on a Monday. So we do need helpers. And then next Sunday, not today, but next Sunday at 7 o'clock, I'm getting all my acknowledgments over there. So next Sunday, 7 o'clock, there is a meeting where we're gonna kind of help plan, lay out what games we're gonna use, new ideas, or we're looking for new ideas. So bring some ideas, and we'll be doing that next Sunday. I think that's it for announcements. Oh, there's a work day next Saturday, 9 a.m. Get the, I think we're supposed to be getting the church, winter ready, but fall cleanup, so, all that kind of stuff. I say winter ready, and it's like, you look outside, and I'm like, I know it's fall, but man, okay. So, I think that's it. Let's go ahead and pass it over.
Actually, there is one more announcement, and for what reasons will be obvious in a minute. I'm going to make this announcement, which is that it's Pastor Appreciation Month. This is the month when, as the name implies, we devote ourselves as a church to appreciating our pastor. So October is just one of those months that can often, as the world kind of gets dark, it just gets dark on the inside for a lot of pastors, across the nation and around the world. And so, to kind of just push back on that in a real deliberate way, we just invite you to just take the initiative, think of ways to just help our pastor feel loved and appreciated and taken care of this month. And if you would like to coordinate with us, you can let me know about that, or show up at his house with a pie. I don't know. It's really up to you. With that, I think we're going to get started. So we're gathered here this morning to remember who God is and to respond to him in worship. Now, this morning is going to look a little different from our usual Sunday morning gathering. Anytime we gather, the things we do as part of this service help us to engage with the truth of God's word, with our minds as we hear scripture read and explained to us in the words we sing together, and also with our hearts as we respond to the truth with wonder and love for God and for each other. Most of the time, we kind of divide the service between worship and song and in the preaching of the word, but this morning, we're going to change it up and devote the bulk of our time to worship in song. I believe it's good for us as a church to try some new ways of approaching our time together occasionally. It keeps it meaningful, it keeps it fresh. It helps us to see what God is doing from a new angle. So here's how this is going to work. This service will be divided into four movements, each of them devoted to answering a question. The questions should sound familiar if you've been around for any length of time. The first question we're going to ask is, who is God. Second, we'll ask, what is he doing? Third, we'll ask, who are we? Finally, what are we to do? The order of these questions, as you may know, is deliberate, and I think serves as a guide for all of the Christian life. These four questions encompass what we should be asking all the time. First of all, is the primary question, who is God? All that he does flows from that question, and all that is good and pure and wonderful in the world is that way because God was that way first. From there, what he does flows into who we are because we are the people we are because of God's work making us that way. Only then, as an outpouring of our new identity in Christ, do we have any sense at all of what we should be doing. If we try to start with some kind of checklist rather than looking to God first, all we're doing is building our own religious, moralistic self-righteousness, as if somehow we can impress God or set our own agenda for the life he has given us. Who is God? What is he doing? Who are we? What are we to do? For each movement, we'll hear from scriptures that speak to that question at hand. We'll sing songs that help us to respond to that truth together. And I've also included a few ways we can respond individually and practically to each question, and I'll explain those as we go. One last point is it's a practical one. We usually, in times of worship, tend to stand. It's our kind of given posture of worship, but since we have like a mountain of songs to sing this morning, I want to give you the freedom to sit or stand or kneel, even just stop to pray or reflect as everyone else is singing as we go this morning. My hope is that as we walk through these four movements, that it will be an opportunity for all of us to align our hearts to God's heart, to love what he loves, to set aside any distractions, and simply to connect with God in a way that perhaps we haven't been able to in a while. So with that, I'm going to pray, and we'll begin. Father, I just pray for this time this morning. I pray that you would help us to stay focused. You would help us to stay aware of what you're doing and who you are. And as we do this together, help us recognize that this is one way we build our church up. It's one way you build our church up. And so as we sing, as we pray, as we are just together in this room doing things together, Father, just bless our time and meet us here, knowing that you are, in fact, here right now. So help us to be more aware of your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew, first movement, who is God? This is Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So this passage, known as the Great Confession, provides in one place perhaps the best answer we have to our first question, who is God? Unlike Elijah, Jeremiah, the other prophets, Jesus is more than just a righteous man sent by God to deliver a message to his people. He's more than that. According to Simon Peter, Jesus is two things, the Christ and the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Hebrew word for that being Messiah, the anointed one, commissioned to come and rescue God's people. But much larger than that, the one who was commissioned to save all of us from the sin and unrighteousness that enslaves us today. And he is also the Son of God, who, if we think for a second, must also be God. Not only one who was commissioned and sent, but who also came with joy to save us from our sins, and more than that, to show us what he was like, compassionate, personal, loving, self-sacrificial, wise. One more point here, if we look at Jesus' response. Notice he doesn't deny any of what Peter says. He affirms it. He's not like, "Oh, no, don't say that. I'm not any of that." He's here claiming to be God. And he reveals that the only way Peter could even know this is if it was revealed by God. We have a God who wants us to know what he's like, what the Father is like, and hear what Jesus, the Son of God, is like. This is who God is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, as we reflect on the way Jesus came to free us from our sins, before we respond in worship, let's take a moment and respond to him in confession. If you're here this morning and you have been struggling with sin, if you've been struggling with temptation, if there's something you know God has been calling you to do that you have been avoiding, let's not hide from that, but expose it to the light so we can turn away from it. I'll pray to get us started and leave some space for you to pray and confess on your own, and then we'll continue. So let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for who you are. As we look closely at who you are, we see that there is so much in us that is not how it should be. There are so many choices and heart attitudes we hold that are wrong, that are immoral, that go against what you have for us. There are things we are avoiding that we shouldn't be. So this morning, as we come to you, hear our prayers of confession and forgive us. Father, there is so much about us that isn't how it should be. We struggle with so many things in our lives. There are things that seem to have so much power over us. But God, we know that you are more powerful still. And I pray that as we confess, that we would perceive the forgiveness that you offer freely through your Son to us. Begin to sing, just hear our voices together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand.
For years we had the prophets. For years they spoke for God. Now God is with us. God is with us. The firstborn of creation. The architect of nature, God is with us, God is with us, the Father's image shown to earth. Greater than the angels, forever is your throne. Yes, you walk among us, proclaiming kingdom come. God is with us, God is with us. Atoning work is done. Now God is with us. God is with us. The Prince of Heaven reigns above. Greater than the angels, forever is your throne. Yet you walked among us, proclaiming kingdom come. God is with us. God is with us. Sing forever, heaven and earth together. God is with us. 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 For years we had the prophets. For years they spoke for God. Now God is with us.
broken, we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root, and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died. Ransom the slave, every people and tribe, every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy?
Upon this rock I will stand.
rock I will stand. Glory, glory, we have no other king but Jesus, Lord of all. We raise the anthem, our loudest praises ring, we crown him Lord of all. Of sin's tyranny. My life is hidden 'neath heaven's shadow. Your crimson flood covers me. Your crimson flood covers me. Glory, glory. Jesus, Lord of all, we raise the anthem, our loudest praises ring, we crown him Lord of all. Oh, 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 oh. In all my sorrows, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe in every victory. Jesus is better. Make my heart believe than any comfort. Jesus is better. Make my heart believe more than all riches. Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Our souls declaring Jesus is better. Make our hearts believe. Our song eternal, Jesus is better. Make our hearts believe. Glory, glory, we have no other king but Jesus, Lord of all. Lord of all, we raise the anthem, our loudest praises ring, we crown him Lord of all. Oh, 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 oh.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore.
clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
You can be seated. Second movement. What has he done? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, that's Paul. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Believe it or not, this is actually one of the oldest descriptions or versions of the gospel message that we have in writing. It was written at a time when many eyewitnesses to the ministry of Jesus were, as we saw, still alive. This passage nicely encapsulates this packet of information that represents the message that we have all been given to preach and live out everywhere we go, and especially every time we gather together. Exhibit A. This passage is a summary of the gospel. What is the gospel exactly? It's the good news of what God has done for us, the question we are examining in the second movement this morning. And what is the gospel message? What is this good news that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead, appearing before hundreds of witnesses as a living person who was previously dead? It's a demonstration of Christ's substitution for us, taking our punishment and fulfilling God's justice and paying with his body and blood what was required for us to be forgiven. In his resurrection, he defeated death, that big dark hole waiting for all of us because of sin. This is a work of the Father who sent the Son. It's a work of the Son who willingly came to live and die for us. And it's a work of the Spirit who led Jesus and who dwells in all who accept what Christ is offering. This is what Christ has done. In light of this, I want to give us the opportunity to go again to God in prayer, this time with a mind to thankfulness and worship to God who forgives all that we confessed a minute ago. Again, I'll start us off, then I'll leave some space for you to pray on your own, and then we'll come back together and we'll continue. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you did so much more than just deliver us from our sin and from the consequences of that and like give us a blank slate or something. Father, you did so much more than that. You gave us your Spirit. You came and dwelt in us and among us, and you gave us a purpose in our lives. You gave us your presence. And in so many big and small ways, everything we have represents the gifts that you have given us as well. And so this morning, as we pray to you in thanksgiving, just hear our prayers. Yes, Father, we are humbled and amazed by all that you give us, just the grace that you lavish on us, the people you've put in our lives who make it so much better, the possessions that we have that are valuable tools for blessing others and for taking care of our families. In all these things, we want to recognize that the stuff we have and the gifts we have and the people in our lives that we have aren't just for us. They're for blessing others and for responding in worship to you. And so as we continue to do that this morning, just hear our voices and draw us closer together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and stand.
In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang, until the courts of heaven rang, oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold of God. Grace that brought me to the fold of God. For me while I was sinning, needy and poor and blind, he whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice, it made my aching heart. To the floor.
sing anew his praise. With all adorning wonder, his blessings I'll retrace. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sing his praise. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold of God. Grace that brought me to the fold.
He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. You paint the night, you count the stars and you call them by name. The skies proclaim, God, you reign. Your glory shines, you teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever, God, you reign. You part the sea, you say, my song remains, God, you reign. You hold my life, you know my heart, and you call me by name. I live to say, God, you reign.
Jesus. Crimson stain, he washed me white as snow.
You can be seated. Third movement, who are we? Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. According to this passage, who are we? In this third movement, the answer to that question flows unavoidably through what God has done. We're not just blessed. We're blessed by the Father in Christ. We're not just hopeful. We're hopeful in Christ. We're not just sons and daughters. We were predestined by God to be his children. We're blessed, holy, blameless, predestined as sons, redeemed, forgiven, destined to be united with each other, with God and with all creation, heirs, hopeful, worshipers, believers, sealed by the Holy Spirit. One thing we can bring with us after meditating on this passage is the fact that we are who we are, not only in our glorious future with God, but also right now, here in this room, together. Now I say we are all those things, but I should clarify, if you're here this morning and haven't accepted this invitation to be made right with God, to join with God and his people to accept what Christ offers, then in fact all these statements of identity are for you hypothetical. They could be about you. If that's you, let me be explicit. You're invited. You are welcome. We saved you a spot. In light of this, let's try something a bit more interactive. Don't panic. We're going to open up to a time for prayer, but this time I'm going to have you partner up with one or two people near you. Now, if it's someone in your family, you could do that, or you could go kind of outside of your family. But like, take a minute, introduce yourselves, find out how you can be praying for each other, and take turns praying for each other. Let's try to keep the group small so this doesn't go for like 45 minutes. Two more things I want to clarify. The first thing is that, and this is going to sound strange, but try to make what you share be about you. I know we all have friends and extended family with needs. Boy, do I know that. And there's absolutely a place for praying for that, but part of the goal here is to be a little more focused and try to connect with each other as we share and pray, all right? I also want to say that while I strongly believe this is a safe place to open up, if you're not comfortable volunteering a bunch of personal information at this point, it's okay. Like, if you're not ready, you're not ready. And this should be like a voluntary thing. Nobody's going to give you a hard time if you're not quite ready at this point. But share what you're willing to share. Try to, you know, this is a time to both pray for each other and to connect. I'm going to give you a bit more time than with the other ones on this, since there's a bit more involved. And then I'll kind of holler and we'll come back together. All right? So let's say, do you want a time or should I just go? And when it seems like we're done, we'll continue. Go. Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and continue now. Go ahead and stand. Let's do this. One, two, three, four. It was me. One. I mean now. One, two, three, four.
I once was dead in sin, alone and hopeless. A child of wrath I walked, condemned in darkness. But your mercy brought new life, and in your love and kindness raised me up with Christ and made me righteous. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved by your grace. I'm saved. You are the light that broke the darkness. You satisfy my soul when I am heartless. If ever I forget my true identity, show me who I am and help me to believe. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace
same. My sin has been erased. I'll never be the same. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever. By your grace I'm saved. By your grace I'm saved.
With his blood, we were lost and dead in sin. He came for us. Look what God has done. He adopted us in love. We were orphans without hope, now his children. Who are we that he would save us? Who are we that he would send us? To God be glory through Christ our Savior. Church through all generations, to God be glory through Christ our Savior's work forever and ever. Look what God has done. Through his sacrifice we're one, sinners unified by grace, bound together. Done by his Spirit through his Son, by the power of his hand, he is sending. Who are we that he would save us? Who are we that he would send us? To God be glory through Christ our Savior's Church. Savior's work forever and ever. Lift your hands and praise him. See his great compassion, see his mercy for us. Raise your voice and thank him. See the church he's building, see the church he's saving. Jesus Christ, he redeems his precious bride. By his costly sacrifice, we're invited. See the wisdom of his ways in the mystery of grace. Every age and every race, we're united. Who are we that he would save us? Send us to God be glory through Christ our Savior's church through all generations. To God be glory through Christ our Savior's word forever and ever. Lift your hands and praise him. See his great compassion, see his mercy for us. Raise your voice and
he's building. See the church he's saving.
Tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, Lord, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say. What matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, Lord, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe.
Taking all and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory.
You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, Lord, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe, and I believe. You say of me, I
forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? Love, I know it's true,
and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned.
Alive and well, your spirit is within me,
because you died and rose again.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love.
Fourth movement. What are we to do? Question I ask myself all the time. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he, that's Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In these two passages, the first one, what we call the Great Commandment, to love God and others, and the second one, the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, we have kind of three baskets into which we can put every righteous decision we ever make. In everything you do, you are either practicing love for God in worship, obedience, and so on, or you are loving others and caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, being a good friend or spouse or son or daughter, or You are making disciples, building relationships with others, and teaching them what you know about who God is and what he has done. Or you're doing all three. There's a lot of overlap. If you're in a place where you're wondering what God's will is for your life, you're not alone. If you're wondering now that you see more clearly who God is, what he's done, what your own identity is as a follower of Jesus, the answer to that is found in these two passages. You're called to love God. You're called to love others. You're called to make disciples. None of these are optional, and all of these are the natural result of God's work in your life. With that in mind, as we consider the question of this fourth movement, I'm going to invite you to find, I put note cards kind of in the middle pews, so you might need to sort of distribute a little bit. Grab a note card and something to write with. While you're doing that, here's what we're going to write about. If we're all called to make disciples, and that means that for all of us, God has put people in our lives whom we are to move toward, to build relationship with, to preach the gospel to them, to show them in our own lives what it looks like to believe the gospel. Sometimes this person is a believer, sometimes not, but in either case, an important first step is to figure out who it is we're supposed to be discipling. Depending on where you are, it might even be yourself. Just commit yourself to learning. In fact, we all want to commit ourselves to learning. So let's take that step right now, because I have a feeling a lot of you have already thought of somebody in your life whom God is calling to reach out to. What I want you to do prayerfully to consider who that person is in your life and write his or her name down on this list. Could even be, I don't know, a couple of people. Below that, why don't you list, like commit yourself a little bit here. What's the first step you're going to take in building relationship with that person? Maybe they're already a close friend and there's a next step you want to take beyond that. Maybe it's just calling them on the phone. Maybe it's taking them out to lunch or coffee, or maybe just straight up inviting them to church. But right now, take a second, ask God who that person is, get that down, and then take a second, pray for him or her, and pray for yourself as you commit yourself to reaching out to them. And pray for wisdom as you obey God's call to make disciples. I'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll continue. All right? Okay, we're going to go ahead and continue, but if you need more time, just you can take it right now. But for the rest of you, let's go ahead and stand as we continue.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven. Build your kingdom here.
awake, the kingdom seated us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom. Streets and land, set your church on fire. Win this nation back, change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
Of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be a sin, a double cure, save from wrath. Make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Make it come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Thou light to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all.
Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Spirit,
we are one in the Lord.
And we pray that all unity
may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians
by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each other's dignity and save each other's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Each other, we will walk hand in hand.
We will walk with each other.
We will walk hand in hand.
And together we will spread the news
that God is in our land.
And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
And
we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Seated. Who is God? What has He done? Who are we? What are we? to do. In a sense, every time we gather, it's to answer these four questions. This is what we want to know, seated at the foot of the cross, in worship, in obedience, in love for God and for each other. We're going to end our time, as we always do, whenever we gather, in a time of communion, our common union, a meal Christ gave us as a reminder of the answer to our four questions and of the fact that we answer them together as God's family united in Christ. You're invited to come partake as we play one more.
This is the body. This is the blood, broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion, we share in His love. This is the body. This is the blood. I will remember everything, Lord, that You've done for me. I won't take for granted Thy sacrifice that set me free. I hunger and thirst for Your love. Come fill me today. This is the body.
I want to send you off with a prayer from the Valley of Vision book. If you haven't read it, well, read it. It's good. Sovereign God, Thy cause, not my own, engages my heart. And I appeal to Thee with greatest freedom to set up Thy kingdom in every place where Satan reigns. Glorify Thyself, and I shall rejoice, for to bring honor to Thy name is my sole desire. I adore Thee that Thou art God, and long that others should know it, feel it, and rejoice in it. Oh, that all men might love and praise Thee, that Thou mightest have all glory from the intelligent world. Let sinners be brought to Thee for Thy dear name. To the eye of reason, everything respecting the conversion of others is as dark as midnight, but Thou canst accomplish great things. The cause is Thine, and it is to Thy glory that men should be saved. Lord, use me as Thou wilt. Do with me what Thou wilt. But, O promote Thy cause. Let Thy kingdom come. Let Thy blessed interest be advanced in this world. O, do Thou bring in great numbers to Jesus. Let me see that glorious day and give me to grasp for multitudes of souls. Let me be willing to die to that end. And while I live, let me labor for Thee to the utmost of my strength.
spending time profitably in this work, both in health and in weakness. It is thy cause and kingdom I long for, not my own. O answer thou my request. May that be all of our prayers this week. We love you very much, and we'll see you around.